Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a fabulous service department with awesome technicians that back it all up. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Play-by-play call of the day. Luka Doncic is having an incredible season.
Looking for win number 27 of the year against 25 losses. Still work to do.
A 51.9 and counting for Luka. 53 last night for Doncic. As Doncic is having a big year, Jokic is having a big year, Embiid's having a big year, Tatum's having a big year. Figured I'd mention it because the only one you hear about is LeBron, who's 117 points away from Kareem. So, well, I know how good Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was as a player. He was the first overall pick of the Milwaukee Bucks. They won a coin flip over Phoenix. And you're talking about an expansion team. So it was an expansion team. They were terrible. They end up in the coin flip. They get the first pick. They pick Jabbar. Lou Alcindor. Make a deep run his rookie year. Second year, they win the NBA championship. Really? Now, they did acquire Oscar Robertson from the Cincinnati Royals. But, really? That's how good that guy was. Everybody always remembers of what he did with the Lakers, and they should, because with the Lakers he was tremendous. But he's got that one Bucks championship, and he did it in the third year of the franchise. And back then, they made sure, as an expansion franchise, you had nothing. And he still got him there. Something else. All right. What is your favorite storyline heading into the Super Bowl? Your favorite.
That's a good question.
Thanks, I appreciate that. That means a lot. I'm going to be able to get in the plane tonight and feel so good about myself.
I know it's going to be the nauseating one, but I think it's basically because of me being an Eagles fan all these years is the Andy Reid thing. It's because for me as a fan, I look back on what was and what could have been during Andy Reid's tenure and what he's done now with Kansas City. You know, that's always the first thing that came to mind if the Eagles were going to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl was they're going to face Andy. It's the only reason why for me it's just strange because you rooted so hard for the guy and things obviously didn't end quite on a little bit on a sour note in 2012. But then you were rooting for him again, and then you saw him finally win a Super Bowl, so that was nice. But now you're playing each other. It's just kind of weird for me.
It's been 10 years.
I know, but it's maybe, again, this is coming from an Eagle fan perspective, a diehard Eagle fan perspective. Other Eagle fans might have a different opinion than I do, but this is just me. And I get everybody else that's not an Eagles fan, or a Chiefs fan maybe for that matter, would think the way you do. And that's fine. I get
it's
it.
My point has been 10 years. He's had nothing to do with Philadelphia for 10 years. I mean, he'll have to get up there and answer all the sentimental questions. I mean, I got that because that's what he's going to be asked about. What was your time like in Philadelphia? What does it mean to face them again? It's like you're sitting there like going, man, I don't care who I'm facing. They're a faceless group to me. All right? Okay, what does one do? He's really good. What does six do? He's really good. What does 11 do? He's really good. I don't know. I don't. Especially today. See, that's what gets me is that today, this is different than when I grew up. When I grew up, they were talking about Scott Rolen the other day getting to the Hall of Fame, and they were saying that he was the best fielding third baseman they saw since Brooks Robinson. Okay. And by the way, if you wanted to argue Mike Schmidt, you could certainly make a winning argument for Mike Schmidt. Okay. But that was the first thing somebody said to me. And what's the difference between Scott Rolen and Brooks Robinson? Or what's the difference between Scott Rolen and Mike Schmidt? Rolen played for four teams. Brooks Robinson only played for the Orioles. Mike Schmidt only played for the Phillies. There's so much movement today all over the place. So how do you develop any... Carson Wentz's name was brought up. Well, Carson Wentz is now in his third team. And he's not atypical. I mean, everybody, there's so much movement in sports today. I mean, now college sports. Everybody's all over the place in college sports. It's looser than the pros are. The pros at least have rules surrounding it because there's a union to negotiate it. In college sports, there isn't that. So you've got freedom of movement now whittled down to two transfer portals, but there's so much movement all over the place. They're going to be talking about a quarterback coming up in the NFL draft that started his career at Penn State. Okay? That's why I find it interesting that there's a sentimental attachment to Andy Reid, because in this era, everybody moves.
While that's true, you're talking about if you're bringing up a guy like Carson Wentz, for an example, when you've gone to like three different teams already in a short amount of time, well, then yeah, then there's no really sentiment there for the most part. But with a guy with Andy Reid, because he was in Philadelphia for 14 seasons, and then he's been in Kansas City now for 10. When you root for somebody for that long, those memories and everything stay with you, and
you guys did not root for him. I mean, let's not rewrite history here. The fans in Philadelphia were mad at him more than half the time.
Yeah, we still rooted for him.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't win a game, or they wouldn't win the big game, and he had to go. So don't act like this was one big kumbaya moment.
No, I get that. It didn't end well in Philadelphia. I get that. But when it didn't end well in 2012, the Eagles were years removed from when they lost four in a row NFC championship games and they lost in Arizona. That was 4 years from that. So that had nothing to do. The team stunk. It was time to move on.
I understand that. But I'm saying that when he lost those big games early in his tenure, Eagles fans were furious with him.
As they should have been. But we didn't want him fired then. Okay. Well, some fans did, but I didn't want him fired.
Now it's like Grandpa's coming back. What the heck? It's like, come on.
I mean, Andy Reid should have been criticized because the Eagles were favored in four out of those five championship games, and they didn't win it, and three of them were at home. So that was deserved criticism. But that doesn't mean we're not going to remember what he did for the franchise as he's
the... Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out.
I'm just trying to explain this side of things here.
Just breathe.
That's all.
Breathe out. It's all right. Okay? I've got somebody designated in the station, by the way, to keep an eye on you the next 2 weeks.
Who is that?
If you start to pass out, we've got it covered.
I was unaware, but I'm glad I know that now.
I had to do something. I care.
I know you do.
All right. See, that's what strikes me. I mean, I realize that like he was the one constant for 14 years. Okay, so he's the longest tenured guy. I got that part.
And still winning as coach in franchise history.
Oh, yeah, okay. You know, there are a lot of guys that fall into that category of winningest guy, and it's like, yeah. It's like, get rid of them. I mean, Belichick's the winningest coach in the history of the Patriots, and a lot of people up in New England right now want to bag him.
But he deserves some of that criticism. I don't know if I get rid of him if I'm on that bandwagon yet. But he deserves a lot of the criticism when you have a defensive coordinator as an offensive coordinator, but which, oh, by the way, Andy Reid did in his final years in Philadelphia with Juan Castillo. Belichick's doing almost the same exact thing. The only problem is this time is if I'm a Patriot fan, I'm not ready to get rid of Belichick yet because he won you 6 Super Bowls and you went to 10 of them and you won six of them.
My point about Andy Reid is he was there for a long time, right? And there the number of moments where people were like, Andy Reid, and now they're like, oh, it's going to be so much fun to compete against him. We loved Andy. Over here in the back, a lot of you didn't. Okay,
but it's only human nature that after a breakup happens,
it's
when sports, it takes a little to pull away. Then you realize what the guy did. And that's where we are right now.
It's been a couple of years since Carson Wentz left.
Carson Wentz is a different component because he's gone off the bandwagon since 2017. I think that logic speaks for itself.
Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. It's all right. I'm just over here pushing a couple of buttons. And to your credit, right, the bait is dangling in the water and you got your mouth wide open. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, we got 2 weeks of this. Penn State's going to play tomorrow night against Purdue. If you recall yesterday's show, Matt labeled Time is so stupid. 8 Final Fours on the national championship. Not that dumb.
He's still a good coach, but I'm saying his game plan is stupid. When you're facing a guy like that on Purdue.
Well, he's faced big guys in the course of his career.
My biggest issue is there's no adjustment. Once he burned you the first time and you stick with the same game plan, he's burned you twice.
He admits it.
Well, then why doesn't he change his game plan? Just for that specific time. That's stubborn. I don't like that in a head coach. I don't care how good you are. Learn to make adjustments.
He's gone to 8 Final Fours and has a national championship. The Sixers last won a title what year?
I get that.
40 years ago? It's a long time.
I'm not saying Tom Izzo's a bad coach. I'm just saying his game plan against this guy is bad.
Well, no, as he said,
and it's stubborn.
I mean, it's interesting because we were talking about Wisconsin and how do you speed up Wisconsin? Because in that opening segment, I talked about how Wisconsin drags down college basketball. Like, in other words, Wisconsin's style of play does not bring additional fans to the TV set to watch, right? Just like I said, Iowa's style of wrestling does not bring additional fans. I mean, when Iowa's wrestling, I don't know, pick one, Minnesota. Are you watching? No.
Yeah, absolutely not. And I'm, but you're also talking for me. I mean, I know where you're going with this, but even for me, a casual wrestling fan, you better give me something to watch, and that's Penn State wrestling. Right. That's not Iowa. Right. I can tell you that right now.
Penn State's dynamic.
Exactly.
It shows, right? Izzo, for the most part, has been a run-up-and-down, wide-open team. Most of the... Now, Tom knows a lot of guys, obviously, in the NBA. Most NBA guys, and you'll see this in Juwan Howard, you'll see this in Mike Woodson, you see this in Micah Shrewsbury. I mean, guys who spent time in the NBA, and you see this in Kelvin Sampson down with the University of Houston, don't like the double. Why don't they like the double? They don't like the double because it's leaving shooters open. And again, this league plays a different brand of basketball than the rest of the country. The rest of the country does not play the way the Big Ten does. The rest of the country is not dominated by big men. Zach Edey, Hunter Dickinson, Trace Jackson Davis, Stephen Crowell, right? Derek Walker. You just start going through like everybody seems to have one, right? Cliff Amore, right? Where are you going to find that in the rest of the country? This is the country is filled for the most part with shooters. Right? They actually play the way Penn State plays. And Penn State is absolutely an NBA-dominated style of play. Well, guess what they don't do in the NBA? They don't double. Now, the other day, Micah kind of looked around and said, hey, look, I got to do something here. So he started Henny, started Dorsey, and they ran some hard doubles at Dickinson, in part where, and Dickinson's a good passer, by the way. I mean, that's, you know, you've got to make a little bit of a bet here that you throw them off their game a little bit. And they did, because Dickinson is a good passer. Edey is an okay passer. Not bad. I mean, he's not bad. And he's difficult to get off his spot because he's just such a big man. But you're going to have to do something with him. And as Izzo said, he said, look, what I did didn't work. I mean, he was honest enough to go out and say it. You know, he's hoping that his guy, Matty Sissoko, is good enough to get in there and go nose-to-nose with him and slow him down. He couldn't do it. Even had Malik Hall back, and that didn't help.
Okay.
So, and what's made them difficult is that the two freshmen, and tomorrow's February 1st, and we always talk about freshmen hitting, quote, the mythical wall on February 1st. Those two freshmen, Smith and Lawyer, have not hit the wall. Their shooting percentages are actually higher now than they were a month ago when the two teams played. I give them a lot of credit. Now, the last week, Smith has not shot the ball well the last week. So we'll see. Lawyer's been pretty consistent. He's been good. First, the other big man that they start, has not been. First has really struggled. But this is what I expect. This is what Matt Painter does. And this is part of, like, doing this job year after year after year. I can tell you how he's going to start the game tomorrow night. Because he's done this for years against Penn State. His idea has always been get the ball into the post, score out of the post, first possession. Boom, get into the post, second possession. With the idea of doing what? Not just scoring, but drawing fouls. And Penn State's had a lot of foul trouble over the years. When Penn State went in there 3 years ago, which is the last time, by the way, they went in there, Penn State has not played a game in that building. Let's see. They played in there during the COVID year, so it's the first time that Dick and I have been in the building, which is the last time Penn State won. And they ran that stuff at Penn State the first two times down the floor, which on the air, in fact, I was the one that had the lead on that. I said, Dick, this is what he's going to do. We've seen it over and over again. Here it comes. And he did it, and Watkins didn't pick up the fouls. And it changed the dynamics of the game. Penn State shot the ball. In fact, Seth Lundy had a big shooting game. That was part of that eight-game winning streak that Penn State had. So I expect that inside, because that's what he does. That's what Matt does. And Micah knows that. I mean, it's just, I mean, let's face it, he was part of the game plan. The question will be, what will the other guys do? When they beat Michigan State the other day, Edey had 38. They only had one other guy in double figures. It was David Jenkins off the bench. He had 11. But Edey had 38 points and 13 rebounds. He is a large man. the Great Wall of Toronto. Why do I call him the Great Wall of Toronto? Because he's from Toronto. You know what? That he wanted to play baseball and hockey when he was a kid. Now look at him. By the way, the Wooden Award came out with the 20 late season names. I've been a Wooden Award voter for 37 years. And I saw something on there yesterday when I got my email that I had never seen before. You know what that is? A Penn State player's name. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Fabulous service department that does a great job of keeping that vehicle on the road. I don't care if it's routine or difficult. They get it done. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. A couple of Penn State football notes. One is Deion Barnes is staying with the staff. He'll have a new title to go with it. He's going to be in the role more of analyst. But the question is going to be, the NCAA is actually looking into the possibility that maybe analysts can also do some on-field coaching. We'll see. But he's going to stay at Penn State. He is a huge plus. He's into the analyst role after being a grad assistant and keeping him is... I thought was important, and they did it. Tomorrow is the second letter of intent day. It used to be the letter of intent day. Now, of course, the one in December is taken over. But last year, if I recall correctly, last year they got Venga Ioane in the late signing period a year ago on the second signing day. Well, they may get another guy tomorrow. It's an offensive lineman. He is making his announcement at 2 tomorrow afternoon. So we'll see how that plays out. So those are the two notes there. Basketball on the plane going out to Purdue tonight. Number one ranked Purdue tomorrow, 6:30. And in case you didn't know, and maybe you had been out of town, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my almighty!
And hopefully nobody from Kansas City puts a Chiefs jersey on the Rocky Balboa statue, because I have found that that actually determines winning and losing. No, it doesn't? Oh, sorry.
No, but it doesn't help their cause.
It doesn't do anything. Okay. It does nothing. It makes you mad. You don't play. Okay. Sean Payton's back in the NFL, by the way. He is going to be the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. So... we'll see how it plays out. Now he's got Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson looked like a shell of himself last year. Let's see what Sean Payton can do with him.
Yeah, he's going to regret that decision.
Who?
Payton. I would not want to go to Denver right now.
Well, I don't know about that. It's new ownership, a lot of money.
That looks very incompetent right now.
Yeah, but the new ownership just took over, Matt. They barely had the team.
I don't know.
I mean, they've gone through like with all the mishaps in the Bolin family over this because I guess Pat Bolin didn't really make it clear as to who should have the team. They finally sold it, and Rob Walton came in and bought them, but he didn't do that. I mean, they barely have the team right now. The Saints, by the way, will get the Broncos' 2023 first-round pick, 30th overall. They will get the 2024 second-round pick in exchange for Peyton, and the Saints will get... and the Broncos will also get the Saints' 2024 third-round pick. So it's a first-rounder this year. It is a second-rounder next year. And the Broncos get a third-rounder next year and the coach, Sean Payton. And remember, this ownership did not trade for Russell Wilson. That was done, as was Nathaniel Hackett, all hired before this new owner. And this new ownership could be a disaster. I don't know. But they have nothing to do, really, with what has been going on until when Hackett got fired. That's when they had something to do with it. And... the three quarterbacks for the Pro Bowl will be for the AFC: Trevor Lawrence, Derek Carr, Tyler Huntley.
I love the Pro Bowl, but that is an absolute joke that Tyler Huntley is in the Pro Bowl.
Well,
I'm sorry.
But now it's a flag football game. It's not even a game anymore. I mean, the Pro Bowl's done as the way it used to be.
I know, but it's still a joke that he is in the Pro Bowl, period. The games, dodgeball, I don't care. He should not be a part of that festivities.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the last dodgeball I watched was 50,000 Winner Take All. Oh, wait, that was a movie. Sorry. but Sean Payton is back in the NFL. A lot of people thought he would go into broadcasting. And D'Amico Ryans, by the way, has been hired as the head coach of the Houston Texans.
That's actually a good move, but still to D'Amico Ryans, good luck with that incompetent ownership group, too.
They got a lot of work to do. I mean, there's no question about that. It's interesting. Bill O'Brien, the general manager, probably didn't help out Bill O'Brien, the coach, much. But Bill O'Brien, the coach, he got them to the postseason four times. It's not like Bill did a really good job coaching the Texans. He really did. It's interesting because Ryans, you know, once sued the Texans for negligence because he said that the field at NRG Stadium had dangerous conditions, so he sued him. we'll hire him anyway.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
He's their third head coach in as many seasons. David Culley, okay, Lovie Smith. Now Ryans. Now Ryans is going to be there more than a year. He did a great job in San Francisco. He really was the, quote, head coach of the defense out there. And I think everyone now knows Brock Purdy. He tore the UCL. He's out 6 months. So that and it's the torque of it. I mean, Hassan Reddick did nothing wrong. Reddick just went in there, rushed him, got to him, forced the fumble, and it's just the way he hit him in such a way, tore it. Yikes. Well, you got a lot of free agents, man. Bradbury, Hargrave, Cox, Edwards, Samalo, Epps, Sanders, Gardner Johnson. You got a lot of free agents on this team. Ooh. Wow.
They do, but I think it's bringing a good majority of that group back is doable.
Not if they pay Hurts. Okay. Sorry to ruin the party, but...
But I don't know if they're going to give Hurts that contract yet. Would I be surprised? No. But if they don't, if they wait another year, then they can bring a lot of those guys back.
Well, they can franchise them, yeah. I mean, they can franchise Hurts anytime they want. He does have another year to go in his contract, so they don't have to franchise him. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to sign him, which is a conversation we would not have had a year ago. A year ago, we would not have had that conversation. I mean, coming off the loss to Tampa where they were non-competitive, it was like, we'll see how he goes. And boy, did he change that conversation. I mean, he changed that. Probably changed it forever. But it's amazing what dedication, hard work can do for a guy. I mean, he's got talent. It's not like Jalen Hurts doesn't have talent. Obviously, he does. But there was some deficiencies in his game. And to his credit, he, quote, worked them out. How about that? I mean, he worked them out. Did that. And it's amazing. It's like we always talk about the humility to prepare and the confidence to pull it off. Well, he's got the confidence part. He always has had the confidence part. You can't do what he does and not be confident. But when nobody was watching, Jalen Hurts was working. Give him all the credit in the world for doing that. All the credit in the world. Now look at him. Accurate. Throws a great ball. We already know he can run. Great leader. Everybody knew he could run. Everybody knew he had was a great leader. I think everyone knew he had a strong arm. He just was not an accurate thrower of the ball. And look what he's done with his accuracy. Wow. In fact, I think you can argue of the two quarterbacks in this game, the more accurate thrower of the ball many times is Jalen Hurts and not Patrick Mahomes. Now, does it matter? Nope. Again, same thing. I've been trying to tell Matt. It doesn't really matter whether one is great over the other. It's how do you match up against the defense you're playing. They don't play against each other. They're on different teams, but they're not going head-to-head. Okay, here's a contest head-to-head as to who's more accurate. The winner of this contest gets 7 points, and they'll have the lead in the Super Bowl. No. And I also think what's interesting, too, about, you talk about the two inside rushers for Kansas City. That Philadelphia offensive line is so good, especially in the middle. It's going to be interesting to see what Spagnuolo does with that. Because Philadelphia is, they're strong up front. And we started to see that last year with the running game. Was it the running game, the running game, the running game, the running game last year? It wasn't really the pass game. Now, of course, they've got the whole package. Talk about it. The Eagles are a fun, dynamic team to watch. They've got that level of unpredictability about them. I'm in the Super Bowl. I feel the same way in the Super Bowl as I do in the NFC Championship game. The first 20 plays the Eagles run, I'm telling you, 15 of them are going to be passes. I think they want to jump out on this team, and I think they want to do everything they can to bury this team early. Make them play catch-up. If they can't do it, say it doesn't work and they can't do it, it's going to be a long day at that point. But I think that's going to be part of what they're thinking. They'll go for it on fourth down. They don't care where in the field they go for it on fourth down. That's fine. Okay. And we'll see how they react and how Kansas City reacts. The fourth down thing is interesting because the Eagles, for the most part, like the one against San Francisco, was that a fourth and four? The first one? The one where Smith dropped the ball?
That was, yeah.
Because most of the time when they go for it, it's like fourth and a yard and a half.
Yeah, that was fourth and three.
Right. And like usually it's like fourth a yard and a half, and like they go for it. And it doesn't matter what part of the field because they're so good up front, they can get it. Right. Now, in that play, I thought the play call was awesome. You play action fake, go deep, go one-on-one coverage, throw to a great receiver, get it in there. I thought the play call was great. He just didn't catch it. Now, it was ruled a catch, but he didn't catch it. Okay. Sorry. That was 29 free yards. And the beginning of a long day for the officials. 7 to 8 hours of officiating, not so blissful. It's like, holy mackerel. Oh, well. Maybe the Super Bowl would be better. Who's got the... Who's the Super Bowl referee? We do know that.
Carl Sheffers.
Ooh, he calls a lot of penalties. If I recall his MO, he is a penalty guy. Let's see here. Percentage of penalties on the home team, 45%. Penalties per game, 12.5, which is down from last year. Yards per game on penalties, 110. So he calls, let's see. I've got the whole thing here. So you can get, it's interesting, you get all this information now. He averages 12.5, his crew, 12.5 penalties per game. The league average is 11. Yards per game on penalties. League average 91. His crew 110. I don't know if that means anything to you, but... That's the game he's got. All right. Take a break. Come back. More in a moment. Ooh. Boy, they've got like his entire penalty history is here. Wow. Well, let's see. Let's pick out an Eagles game. This will be good. Ooh, the last Eagles game he did, he called 23 penalties. A lot.
That was this year?
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
He actually called it. It was the Eagles Giants game. He called 8. So,
which Eagles Giant game?
The second one.
Okay.
Actually, there were 16. Let's see. I'm trying to see. What does PA mean? It must be. You know, what does it mean, though? 8 penalties for 22 yards. and some, you know, some personal fouls. Okay. That normal game is like the dozen. Let's see.
And for what it's worth, I believe this is his third Super Bowl.
Wow, he's had almost as many Super Bowls as the Eagles have.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
It's really bad when one guy has one less than your franchise does. And you go back to, like, 1930. All right, we'll come back. I'm joking. I know how much this means to all of you, because you don't get there that often. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. And wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Guess who is number 2 in the NFL in points scored this season?
The Chiefs are, aren't they?
No, Buffalo is. The Chiefs are number 1. Guess what? Guess who's under the microscope right now? A little bit. Is Lane Johnson. You know what he's under the microscope for, in all seriousness? False starts. I'd have to go back and look at the tape because I never have noticed that, but there's like a swirl around him right now that a lot of analysts are talking about, that he is jumping the gun on pass protection. And I don't know because it's something I haven't noticed at all.